With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Women's Hockey Life Podcast.
Welcome to the Women's Hockey Life Podcast, empowering women and girls in hockey. We'll be talking in depth about what it really takes to be unstoppable on the ice and in life. We'll be looking at the mindset of the most successful women as they mastered the game and went on to even bigger successes in life because they mastered it. This podcast is brought to you by our friends over at The Hockey News and Sports Illustrated. Go to thn.com/deal to subscribe to their magazine today. Maddie Miller is a former collegiate student athlete at Lindenwood Belleville, where she had a great career. But like many of us, we struggled with the transition from being that student athlete to entering the real world. She wrote a great article for our website, womenshockeylife.com, on this topic, and it really hit home for me as I went through a lot of what she did, and I know that the two of us can't be the only ones who have gone through that or will go through it. So I wanted to bring Maddie on here today and just let her tell her story and really get into the struggles, but also let's try and figure this out, right? Let's see how we can help people moving forward. So Maddie, welcome. If you want to just introduce yourself, you know, where'd you grow up? How'd you get started in hockey? Where'd you play? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So hi everybody. My name is Maddie Miller. I grew up in Newmarket, Ontario, but there was no women's hockey league where I was from. So I played in the town 5 minutes over. I played in Aurora my entire life growing up. And then I actually got into hockey because my brother played growing up and I would always just die watching his games and just love it. And I begged my mom for 3 years to let me play hockey because she wanted me to be a figure skater. And I said, no, mom, it's just not for me. So she finally signed me up and here I am.
How did you break her down? How'd you finally get her to say yes?
Just 3 years of nagging.
Persistence. Yeah. Please, mom. Keep poking.
Yep.
That's awesome. And how did you end up at Lindenwood Belleville? How did that whole process evolve?
So I played in the PWHL for my final year of hockey in Aurora. And a friend of mine actually was scouted. And I actually was already committed to another college back home. I wasn't even going to play hockey. And I was just going to go for a graphic design college degree. And I ended up, like, my friend was like, hey, you know, we got a scholarship. And I was like, no, I didn't. And she was like, yeah, no, let's go. It's in Illinois. I don't know what's going on, but let's go.
No way. So she essentially recruited on your behalf. Like, hey, I've got this friend, this teammate. Let's bring him to you.
Yeah, it was a very unique recruiting experience for sure. But I just went on a limb and I was like, you know what? If I get to play hockey for another 4 years, why not? Let's do it.
That's interesting because you went from having the mindset of I'm not even going to play in university. Like my hockey career is essentially done at that elite level to, okay, we're jumping right back in the saddle here.
Yeah.
So, what was that? What was your mindset from that? Just making that shift of like, were you upset that you weren't going to be playing anymore, or had you just pushed it out of your mind, and then now you're back in it? Like, what was that process like?
I was sad, absolutely, but I had this feeling, and I don't. This sounds like super corny, but I had this feeling like in my soul that like for some reason I was not done playing.
Awesome.
Like something would come along, or like I could play hockey in college, or like there was like a local team that would reach out or something. And it literally happened. I just had this feeling that my hockey career was not done, and that opportunity came and I was like,
I love that. I don't think that's corny at all. And I believe in that. I believe like the universe just lined everything up. You believed in that. You knew something was going to happen and there it was, and you took advantage of it, right? You jumped at the opportunity. Yep. That's awesome. So talk to me a bit about your university career. Like, were there any big moments that stood out for you or things that you maybe weren't expecting to have happen, and then they did, and it changed you as a person?
Lots of things happened in university. I think honestly overall, not to get like too personal and stuff, but the mistakes I made completely changed me as a person and as a hockey player. I definitely suffered through some consequences, but it just made me really realize how much hockey means to me and how much I was affecting people around me, and that I just didn't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just wanted to be a good person, be a good student, and be a good hockey player, and just learn and grow every single day. Yeah. So at one point I reached that probably in like towards the end of my sophomore year. I was like, okay, enough with the crap. Like, let's go, let's focus, let's crack down. And then I really, really, really started to realize how deep my passion was for everything.
That's awesome. Do you think part of that had to do with maybe never being away from home, and you had all this freedom all of a sudden, and you could basically do whatever, and you didn't have your parents right behind you already to, you know, discipline you or whatever. It was just, you had freedom now. And then you did some stuff, you made some mistakes, and you're like, okay, this is not me. This is not who I am. I need to get it back together.
Yeah. Actually, I went through a heartbreak and sort of tossed away my cares to the world and made that pretty clear. So I learned a lot from that, though, and I'm happy I went through it, because I'm proud of who I've become since then. And it was unfortunate that, you know, you kind of have to go through all that stuff and be a certain way to sort of realize, but I wouldn't change anything about the experience or what happened or what I went through, and just sort of how I handled everything.
Yeah. And I bet you are less judgmental of other people who make mistakes now.
100%, 110%. I actually, not to encourage people to do those things, but like when they make a mistake, I'm like, yes, like you are going to learn from this. This is going to help you so much. And I'm really happy. I'm not happy that you did it, but.
No, I get it. But it's
like, I'm just really happy that this is going to be a really good growing experience for you.
100%. And I think the biggest thing, and you obviously went through it, is you made the mistakes, but then you didn't keep repeating the pattern to this day, right? You actually learned from it. You chose to learn from it and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's huge. And I think that's part of why you were able to get past it and move on. And now you're a great person. So you have learned from it, but that is like one of the things too, that I always talk about with just anyone. Like it's like, you don't go intentionally making mistakes, but if you do, learn from it, and you're going to grow as a person, right? Especially when you're young, it's like, go try things,
mm-hmm.
right? Find out what you're passionate about. Find out what excites you, what makes you come alive. And through the process of just doing things, you're going to knock off, okay, yeah, I'm not interested in this, or there's some interest, maybe that's something I'm going to pursue further. But for you, you kind of knew what you wanted to do going into college, like talking more now about like the academics and life and what you want to pursue. You had an idea. So for you, it was more really figuring out if that's what you wanted to do. Do you want to talk a bit about what you studied and what you're doing now?
Sure. So actually, originally, I started off as a interactive media and web design major at my school. And I loved it, but the web design part was extremely challenging for me. Like, I learned how to code from scratch. So like everything, I typed every single little thing.
Is that like the 0101? Like what is...
Yeah, so like the I don't even know how to, like, yeah, but yes. And
that's impressive.
Yeah, so I can code a website, but I don't really like to do it. And I knew that I wanted to do graphic design, and they didn't really touch on a whole lot of that on that side, which is a little bit surprising. But I actually, a lot of my classes overlapped with a mass communications major. So I looked into that in my junior year, and I noticed that they had like half design courses and half sort of like public relations, marketing, businessy sort of courses.
Okay.
So I thought that would be a good route, just because I love to design, and then to have some sort of like marketing and business background if I wanted to start my own business one day would be awesome. So I did that, and then I still graduated on time and everything, which was awesome.
That's amazing. So yeah. You figured it all out.
Yep.
Good for you. Good for you. So just to backtrack a little bit here, not to get off topic, but with the game of hockey, that obviously brought you to Lindenwood Belleville, right? That's where you continued your career, you got your education, you know what you know now because of it. What made you fall in love with the game in the first place?
Ooh, that's a tricky question.
Didn't think I'd stump you on this one.
I don't know, because growing up, it's always been part of me. It's just been my lifestyle. But every season, I feel like I loved it in a different way.
Interesting.
Like, I guess it would depend on the group of girls I had or the coaches I had or the success we had. And like, obviously there was always that underlying, I love hockey no matter what, but those little things make you love it even more. Like when you win that Silver Stick tournament, or when your coach gives you that pat on the back for making that great play, and just, I don't know, just those little things. But in college specifically, just the tight-knit family and being around your girls 24/7 and just like having an amazing supportive coaching staff was like, I can't even explain how amazing and just unique it is. We have such a great culture in our group too. Like, it's like our girls are picking you up when you're down. No judgment. Like, we all just purely love each other. And I think that's really unique, especially in a big group of women.
Yes.
To all come along like that. And it's just like, it's amazing to be part of and like super hard to let it go. So I think for me, that's what helped me love hockey a million times more than I ever did.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And, you know, for a lot of people and even for myself, it was, you know, just jumping on the ice, you forget about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like you're in this little bubble and time freezes and you feel the most at ease and the most in your skin, I guess. Yeah. Right. So then for you now, when you had this family, this tight knit group for 4 years, arguably your whole life up until the day you graduated, mm-hmm. and now you're making the transition into the real world, right? You're an adult now. Tell me how you really feel. Like, when did you first start to feel, I guess, lost or isolated or alone?
I think when I graduated, because I'm obviously Canadian and I stayed in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends pretty much all left, and I felt pretty alone in a sense that I couldn't really talk to anybody about it, or like nobody around me would really understand, especially because hockey isn't very popular in St. Louis. So like, I have a few friends here and there that have played, and you know, like they're like, oh, you know, it sucks, the hockey's over and stuff, but like no one to really understand. And even the girls that all went home for the summer and stuff, like they didn't graduate either, so they don't understand yet. And I didn't even really know like how to express my feelings. Excuse me. And I honestly felt like a little bit weak feeling like that. Like I wasn't sure if I was the only one feeling like that, or if I was just being a baby, or like what it was. So I didn't really say anything for a while. And then all the girls came back and started skating again. And I was like, whoa, like it like just slapped me right in the face, like really emotional. I'm like teary eyed right now.
I get it. It's hard.
Yeah.
You go from, as hard as every student athlete knows this, you work extremely hard during those 4 years and you earn everything you get. But at the same time, you're spoiled in that you have a tight knit group of friends and family, and you know, you get meals after games and you go to the dining hall, you don't have to prep food. You get a lot of things that you take for granted that you then have to do in the real world. Like now you have to prep food. Now you have to plan. Now you have to work out on your own. Now you have to, you're essentially by yourself. So it's a big deal for student athletes. And you're not the only one. I went through it. A lot of my teammates went through it. I gained like 20 pounds after I stopped playing because I realized you can't eat like you normally do when you're working out 2-3 hours a day. Right. Like, and that's common sense. Like anyone hearing this is probably like, duh, Jacqueline, like, of course you get the calories in, calories out, like, hello. But you're just in this, I guess, routine, and you don't think like everything is here. You're doing A, B, C, D throughout the day. And then all of a sudden that structure is gone.
And I feel like athletes and lots of people in general thrive in structure, right? So you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen. And then it's not like university preps you for the day after you graduate, right? And no fault of theirs. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone goes through different transitions. But what you went through is actually very common. And I guarantee you, people listening to this who have gone through what you did, they had the same feelings and same emotions. And those who maybe are in university right now listening or watching to this, they don't get it. We might sound a little crazy to them right now, but as soon as they experience it, they're going to be like, oh, this is it, right? So I guess, how did you start to get out of that? How did you get out of that fog or that funk that you were in? Are you out of it?
I mean, like, there's days that I'm like, you know, I can do this, it's okay. And then there's days that I'm like, oh my God, like I would die to be at practice right now, or like be prepping for game day, or just, so there's ups and downs for sure. But I'm super fortunate enough to have my old coach still let me come out and skate.
Awesome.
With the girls and just sort of be part of things. And she actually even made her own internship for me, like a little marketing graphic design sort of social media intern. So I still get to like seriously be part of it and be around the girls and just do whatever I can to help out, which is helping a lot.
Yep.
But then there's days too that I get really jealous and I'm like, oh, like I wish I was there. And the girls are like, I wish so bad you were skating. And it's hard, but I would rather be part of it than not.
Yeah. So do you think, like, hockey was obviously the number one passion in your life, for your entire life, right? So now that that's taken from you, it's you now finding what that next passion is. Or was there a passion there that was maybe just as strong, but you never tapped into it? So now you're trying to figure out what that is. And maybe it is graphic design. Maybe it's, you know, doing exactly what you're doing, but trying to stay involved in the game somehow with it as well. You know, like, have you thought about that? Is that maybe something that now you're trying to just figure out?
Definitely. And I've actually been doing an internship for a team in British Columbia as well, doing their game day graphic design and stuff. And I absolutely love doing that. That's what I want to do. Like, if I could work for an NHL team doing graphic design, that would probably be my dream job. So I can stay involved in hockey, but still design. And if there's any way that I can like play, obviously I would, but just being part of it and getting to make a career out of it, I think would be a huge bonus.
Yep. And are there opportunities for you to play in like an adult league or a beer league, as we call them in Canada?
Yeah, there's one around here. I think they only do just tournaments, which is totally fine, but not as many leagues here as there are at home, but it's definitely better than nothing. And I think I'm just going to buckle down and play those tournaments whenever they come along.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess the question for me is why now? Why do you feel the need to talk about this now?
I want to talk about it while it's like on my mind. So honestly, so people can feel this emotion. Mm-hmm. I don't really like to show my emotions per se. And I think it's really important for people to not take for granted what they have right now. And also just speak for people that are going through this or have gone through this. Like, I don't want anyone to feel alone in this and felt like I felt like 3 months ago and just feel like dumb or like a baby because you're not, you know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Lifestyle adjustment. And it's really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So
when you were like, as you were, I mean, this is still fresh for you. Obviously we can see that, but when you were going through it, like did this isolation, the fear, the insecurity, did it show up in like physical symptoms or just it was, or was it all you talking to yourself inside your own head?
I think a bit of both. Like I gained a little bit of weight too. And I found it like extremely hard to motivate myself to do other things. Like I didn't really want to apply for jobs or go to the gym or like do anything that had nothing to do with hockey. Like I was like sort of turned off by everything. And it's just like, I want to be where I want to be. And then everything else is, I don't care.
Yeah.
So that was like really challenging to make that mental switch and be like, I need to change my entire mentality here or else I'm going to be sitting on my couch for the rest of my life. And I need to just suck it up and be an adult, but still allow myself to be emotional and go and grieve about this too. So that was sort of a challenging thing to balance both feelings and motivate myself again, but I'm slowly doing it and it's starting to get a little bit easier, but it's still hard.
Yeah. It's almost like you lost your identity when hockey stopped.
Definitely.
And then you're like, now what?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Now what do you do?
Yeah, because you associate hockey with who you are and you forget that you're also a daughter. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have two older brothers.
You're a sister, you're a friend, you're a lot of these other things, but it hasn't been the primary focus, right? You just, your passion's been hockey, you love it, and all of a sudden it gets taken from you, and now you're like, who am I?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how do I get through this? And I remember going through it, definitely when I stopped playing, but I also was still in the game. Like, I coached, I went and played overseas, I played in the CWHL, like, I did a lot of other things, so I don't think I had the major impact that you're feeling right now. It was lessened, I guess you could say, because I was still playing, I was still involved. For me, that experience that you're feeling now happened when I got out of coaching. And I got out of coaching because I had twins, and there's two of them. Mm-hmm. So I stayed home with them a lot. Like, I had to sacrifice the coaching career to raise my family. And that was my choice. I chose to do that. But what I didn't realize was how that was going to impact me and my psyche and being like, wow, is this all I am now? Like, am I just a mom? Which is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But again, you go through that identity of I've been a hockey player, a hockey coach, and now that's taken from you and you just feel completely lost.
Yeah.
And it was like the biggest, I remember my twins were 11 months old and I was like, this can't be it. And that sounds so horrible as a mom. Like, I love my kids to death. I will do anything for them. Any parent out there understands that, but I needed more. I needed to be stimulated in other ways. And they were 11 months old. And that's when I 100% invested in my business and the company and making it work and helping, you know, highlight and promote and support the game. Like, that's what made me come alive. And I started to find my identity still in hockey, but in a completely different realm. Right. So it's kind of like with you, you're trying to figure out how to take what you're skilled and gifted at with graphic designing and apparently building websites, even though you don't love that. And now implementing that with your other passion of hockey. And I think the biggest takeaway here is you're taking action now. You know, you're not laying on the couch and feeling sorry for yourself. And you've gotten out of that. 'Cause you're like, I could stay here or I can actually put one foot in front of the other and start to turn that into my new life.
Yeah.
So kudos to you. Because you even mentioned in the article how it was, you know, hockey taught you, you know, what to fight for, I believe is what you had said. And now that's what you're doing now. You're fighting for what you want. And the game taught you how to do that. So it's going to reward you in some way that you just don't even know about yet. I believe that. I know you're going to be fine.
Thank you. Sometimes, honestly, that's like all I need to hear to just keep going. So
that's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
You just have to, do, like, Nike got it right when they said, just do it. I never understood that slogan, now more than ever. It's like, you literally just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Every step you take, even if it's one backwards, you're doing something where you're learning how to create that life that you want. Like you said, you're learning from all the mistakes you made in college, but you grew, right? So now it's, you're doing internships. I mean, you're probably doing like 17 other things as well, right? Trying to figure out which path to go. And this hard work you're putting in now is going to pay off in the long run. I know it will. So just stay the course. What's that?
I said, I hope so. Thank you.
It will. And you have to believe in yourself, and how you believe in yourself is just by doing, right? Because then the confidence grows as you try new and different things.
Yep.
I remember, like, those first 11 months of my kid's life, like, postpartum depression, hardcore. Like, I have never been that low in my life before. I'm like, I totally have a new respect for depression and mental illness. Not that I ever didn't, but when you actually go through it, and I'm like, this isn't me. I'm happy. I'm upbeat. I'm always smiling. I'm making people laugh. Like, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of bed in the morning. And I had to like keep two tiny humans alive. They were depending on me, right? And I'm like, I don't know how to make it through the day. I've never felt that before in my life. And at the end of every single day, I would literally like high five myself. Like, yes, they're alive. I did my job. And I'm like, that's so messed up to even like think like that. And I just remember like crying over them. Like it was the typical like postpartum depression. Like you cry randomly. You feel like you don't know what you're doing, how to do anything. I literally spilled breast milk that I'd pumped on the kitchen floor, bawled my eyes out. And I was like, is this where the expression comes from, crying over spilled milk? I was like, I get that now. Like it was just the craziest things. And it was at that 11 month mark when I finally was like, enough is enough. Like I had one foot in front of the other every day. And over time of keeping my children alive, I built confidence. Mm-hmm. And then was like, okay, they're almost a year old and I've been able to do this. Like, yes, I have a team. Yes, I have a team. It's called the family, not in the sports world anymore. That's helping as well. But it was the coolest transition, I guess, from going from literally the bottom of the ground, laying flat on my face, to feeling like I could literally do anything. Like now I have all this confidence, and it was just by doing the same thing over and over and over again. And at that 11 month mark, I was like, I know I meant to do more than just be a stay at home mom. Right. Like I love it. I enjoy it. It's exhausting, but I just was like, okay, there has to be more out there. And that's why with you, I'm like, you have another passion, right? You're good at something else. And now it's just figuring out how to put the two together. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, you know, I loved playing, obviously we both did. And I loved coaching, but now that I have a family, the lifestyles don't match up. Like when you're coaching at that NCAA level, it's 7 days a week, arguably year round, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to raise my kids where they're never going to see me. That's my personal choice. And that's, I don't want to do that. So now I'm like, how do I stay involved in the game? Yeah. Right. And it was, I literally created something from nothing because that was the only out that I saw. You know, like I had to take that initiative and do something I had very little experience in building and running a business, but it's been so cool just learning as you go. And I'm like, oh, okay. Making a ton of mistakes, like you said, mistake mm-hmm. after mistake. But now, you know, you start to build off those and you get momentum and you're like, okay, I think I know what I'm doing now. And it was the most liberating feeling. Like you're, like you said, like scary to put yourself out there and try and do something you've never done before. But then the rewards have been tenfold, right? Now I get to be with my kids and also run a business, and you know, so I can put them on the bus or drop them off at daycare and pick them up and be there on the weekends and stuff like that. So it's having, I guess, the insight to be able to look at yourself and say, what are you willing to sacrifice to have that life that you want? Because you can literally do anything if you want to, and you want to put the work in, and that's what you're figuring out.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to watch you do this.
Thank you.
It really is.
It's actually been great being in contact with you. Like, thank you so much for all your support and just,
oh my God, yeah,
standing and being here and just doing everything you can. It means a lot.
Oh, well, hey, I'm glad you reached out. And that's the other thing is you sent that email with, I don't know if you were nervous to, or is she going to put it up on the website? Is she not? But you took a risk. You took a chance. The worst I would have said is no.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And I knew that. So I just thought, you know what, here you go. And if not, okay.
And that's the difference between you and someone else who's still stuck is you actually took the initiative and you took action. You're like, you put yourself out there. Maybe she says no, but maybe she says yes. And stuff like this starts happening. Now you can impact people. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, you just have to take action. You have to do something, work. So you're going to be okay. And I think everyone listening to this needs to know that too, is you may be in a dark place right now. Your identity may be stripped from you. Who am I now? I'm no longer a hockey player. Well, you can be if you want to, you know, join an adult league or something else. But it's now finding that other passion. Like, what excites you? What energizes you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Follow that. And I think you're doing that, right?
Definitely. Like, I wake up, like, with a smile on my face, you know, like, it might not be hockey, but I'm making a purpose for myself, and I'm just trying to project my passion in different ways. So I think honestly, it's really important to just like think about, like, not let hockey go at all, but think about how you can project that in another way, because I've never felt like I had more purpose, like, in this entire process until right now. Like, I'm doing exactly what I wrote this article for. Like, I'm helping people. I want to talk about it. I want to be there for people, but I also want to help myself and take my own advice, you know, and just get up and just do it. Exactly. Just do it.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I mean, there's not necessarily a group or an organization that is specifically helping with the transition, you know, whether it be from high school to university, the real world, or whatever it may be. But if you're in the Facebook group, Women's Hockey Life Community, right? Mm-hmm. So Maddie's in that group. If you guys want to join it, feel free to. We'll you know, it's another way to connect with everyone in the women's hockey world. So post questions, interact, and hopefully if you are struggling with something, throw it out there. I promise you, you're not the only one going through it. You're not alone. So feel free to lean on Maddie, lean on me, lean on your parents, your friends, your teammates. Just don't be afraid to talk. Right? Would you agree with that?
I could not agree more. I think holding it in was the worst thing I've ever done. Like, talking about it has just made it so much easier, and knowing that there's someone else out there that can completely relate. I know for a fact it's not just you and I as well. There's has to be millions of people who have gone through this, not even as hockey players, but just as athletes in general. It really is a struggle, and I just don't be afraid to talk. You know, like, the reason I'm doing this is because I want people to be able to reach out and ask questions and be vulnerable, because that's what I'm doing, and it's helped a lot.
It's probably scary, but it's probably liberating as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Maddie, you're a rock star. I'm so glad we did this, and I'm so pumped to see you know, what your future holds and what you're going to do, and I know it'll be great things. And any parting words for anyone hearing or watching this?
Just thank you guys for watching and listening, and, like, honestly, this means the world that I get to even record with Jacqueline here and just say how I'm feeling and everything. Like, I'm really happy to have this opportunity, and I hope this helps you, really, at the end of the day. I hope what I said helps you and motivates you to keep pushing.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you guys. Again, if you want to join that Facebook group, just search Women's Hockey Life Community. We're all in there. It's literally everyone from all over the world. So you want to connect, interact, jump in there, and we'll be chatting again soon. Thank you, Maddie. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much.